Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And tonight, my co-host, back from his Rocky Mountain High, is Michael P. McCarthy.
Great to be back in good old Maryland.
Yeah, you sounded like you were having a little too much fun out there in Colorado there, Michael.
Hiking up mountains, kayaking, paddleboarding.
Fly fishing, a lot of cool fly fishing.
You know? It was really neat. Mountain towns up in Crested Butte, Colorado, have the U.S. Air Force do a flyby for 4th of July, and man, that crowd lit up.
Wow, that sounds cool. And you have the Air Force Academy right there, right, in Colorado Springs, so not too far away. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight, Michael. That means our listeners are our guests. They get to call in, ask any question they want to. And, you know, anything dealing with your personal finance, maybe it's estate planning, maybe it's income taxes, maybe it's Social Security or Medicare, maybe it's your 401k, maybe it's your IRA, Roth conversions, Roth IRAs. You know, if it's dealing with your personal finances, you're spending money on it. You know, you have a question you think might be beneficial to you. If we could help answer that question, now's the time to call in 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 is the way you call in and direct the conversation. And we're here to help you as best we can demonstrate what a true professional financial advisor should do. And that's what your opportunity is now, to call in and direct the conversation. And this morning, Michael, I was talking to Sean Casey about group life insurance. And I'm always shocked at how few people really understand that group life insurance is of no benefit to the average person that's in relatively good health. If you smoke and you're not in good health, group life insurance is probably a good thing for you. But for the person that's in relatively good health, when you consider that, A, you don't control the policy, so if you leave the company, you lose the insurance. B, the cost of the insurance is probably as much as 1 to 2 times more expensive than what it would be if you bought it on your own. And three, the premium increases every year your age is divisible by 5, and so you can lock in your premium for 20 years. And, you know, it's just a dramatic difference. Anyway.
Well, I will tell you that we still don't have any callers. So if you've got a question you're thinking about, you're debating whether or not to call, now's the time. 410-922-6680. But I always like to debunk you a little bit. Say, oh, Drew, you forgot this one little sliver. I mean, obviously you covered the people in bad health or who couldn't get insurance otherwise. But you and I have both had group life insurance in our lives.
Through the AICPA.
Through the AICPA. So that's the most wonderful thing about being an accountant. We don't really do stupid stuff to die. That's kind of what we're known for. So.
And that's true, Mike. It is group life insurance. But at the same time, it was cheaper than the private term market.
Right.
Okay. When you looked at the select rates. And two, I controlled the policy. Unless the AICPA debunked the trust, I still controlled the policy.
Right.
Didn't matter what accounting firm I worked with and so forth.
So if you're a CPA out there, it might be a good choice for you. I don't know if there's other boring professions out there that have people that tend not to, you know,
go spelunking. And CPAs are getting a little on the wild side, Mike.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
Don't go bragging about your rates right now. I had to I dropped my policy a few years ago because I didn't need it anymore.
Yep.
Anyway, Michael, we're on an open show. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Now's the time to call in, not later, because if you call in later, there's a good chance we've got 3, 4, 5 people on the line. Right now we have no one, right?
No one still. Lines are open.
No one still. Lines are open. 410-922-6680. And Mike, you also had a topic you wanted to talk about. Good old Joe, President Joe Biden, has come up with another new concept.
Well, it's the same concept. So when he put together the debt forgiveness, debt cancellation for student loans, that's not all he had in there. He had other stuff in there. And the Supreme Court said, hey, no, we're not going to let you wipe away the government's debt with the student loans. But it didn't stop some of the other provisions that he had in there. So this is going to be good for if you have just massive student debt and you have low income. They've created a new version of the income-based repayment plan, and this one will make the payments about half of what they were before. And then in addition to that, it will make the it will make it so that your balance can't increase. Before, if you didn't, you know, if you paid the required minimum, you might still have interest building up past that and keep growing. But let's return to that topic after we go to Mark in Baltimore. Mark, how can we help?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Great, Mark. What can we do?
Wonderful. I received a $10,000 double H bond.
Okay.
Okay, as a part of an inheritance.
Okay.
It was taken out in 2002.
Okay.
The year over maturity, which part of that is considered taxable income?
First, well, in the
and the principal or just the principal, where am I?
So you'd have to go into like savingsbondwizard.com and enter the serial number of that double H bond, because there is a portion of that that is the double E basis that is tax-free that was transferred into that double H bond. And so there is something that will be tax-free. But I would expect it to be about a quarter of the principal. That'd be my opinion. But you're going to have to hold on. You want to hold on and ask another question? Because I have to take a pause. You want to hold on a sec?
Sure.
All right.
All right.
We'll be right back. After,
whether that was a yes or a no, I don't know.
We'll find out after the break.
This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. We're back, are we?
We're back. Oh, yeah, we're back.
We're back. I didn't hear anything extra, but we're back. Let's see if Mark is still there, Mike.
Mark, you still here?
I am indeed. Thank you.
We weren't sure if you'd hold on.
Ask your next part of your question.
The next part of the question is, the bond says on it about $5,000 and change deferred interest. Is that the portion that's already been paid out?
So your bond is $5,000. Is that correct?
$10,000 face value.
So what would have happened is somebody would have transferred e-bonds worth $10,000 into that H-bond, okay? When they transferred it in there, there would have been a bunch of deferred income. It was probably three times more than the principal. So in other words, if the principal was $2,500, the interest would have been $7,500.
Or in this case, $5,000, right?
Why is that?
That's how much he said he had.
He said he has a $10,000 bond.
And $5,000 deferred interest.
Is that what it says? $5,000 of deferred interest?
Yes, $5,000 and change.
Okay. Well, maybe they had $5,000 of principal and $5,000 of deferred interest. I don't know, because each H bond would have been different depending on who transferred it in and how they transferred it in. Because they could have transferred it in when they, you know, after 30 years, and even it, some of them could have been 40 years of deferred interest back in 2000 when you could still move them to H bonds. So, you know, you could have, you know, maybe it is just 5,000. I don't know. I don't know the bond specifically.
Assuming it is 5,000, is that taxable income at this point once it's cashed in?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and technically it was taxable the year it matured. I mean, technically the law says when the bond matures, the interest is taxable to you. But most people don't pay taxes on it until they actually liquidate it. And the government doesn't seem to enforce it either. So, you know, but that's the law. So, you know, just be prepared. Now, no state income tax on that. So just keep that in mind. I've got a roll. Good question, Mark. Excellent.
Thanks, Mark. All right. We're open show. We still have open lines, but we'll go right to Martha. Martha, how can we help?
Okay.
What can we do?
I was wondering, how many financial advisors does one need? I seem to have one too many. I have two.
You know, we even tell our clients that if you want to work with us, you know, you should work with us. If you feel somebody else is a better financial advisor than we are, you should take everything to them. You really should have one. Now, there are times when you're going to have two or three different financial people you're working with, but they're the other two, let's say, have a unique specialty that you need from them for their, like, for example, we have investment managers that we bring in to help with some of the investments that we use with our client, but they don't act as the general financial advisor on a day-to-day basis.
We had a client just recently call in, Martha, that had left us a number of years ago to move with a family member, but after 5 years of still getting our videos and listening to what we have to talk about, she'd go back to this person and say, hey, I heard about this. What can you tell me? Does this apply to me? And they'd say, go talk to your CPA. And they'd say, well, what about this? And they'd say, well, maybe you could get a financial planner to do that for you. So that's the thing. You want to be with the financial advisor that's giving you the most comprehensive view of what your situation is.
Yep.
Okay. Well, one basically deals with annuities.
Oh, well, that'd be one I'd be scared of.
I know. That's why. But you know, it's hard to get your money out of annuity.
Yeah, well, you need to, you know, from now on, you should never buy an annuity. Nobody should be buying an annuity, in my opinion, that pays a commission to somebody to sell it. If an annuity is a great thing, you should be able to buy it on the internet now with no commissions whatsoever. And they're very, very frequent. You can get the same annuities now that anybody's selling, taking commissions without a commission. They're available. Fee-only annuities are a dime a dozen now.
Yes, but they're very hard to get money out of.
They don't have to be very hard to get money out of, but they are, because when you pay that commission, you have a 10-year deferred sales charge on them. That's why you got to get rid of those commissions when you buy them. But you need somebody to review those who's objective and help you to determine what is in your best interest and how to liquidate them when it's appropriate. And get into, if annuities are right for you, get into fee-only annuities. All right, I got to run. Good question. Excellent.
Thanks,
question.
All right, we're open show, plenty of open lines, but we'll go
410. Well, let's tell the number, 410-922-6680.
Stepped right on my toes.
410-922-6680. Those are big toes to step on, Michael, but go ahead.
All right, let's not keep Sam waiting. Sam, how can we help?
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Sam, what's happening?
Hi, good afternoon. It went silent there for a second. Yeah, I just had a quick question and maybe something you can speak to, because I hear it on your station all the time, and it's basically financial people promoting these plans where they say, you know, you can't lose when the market goes down and you gain when the market goes up and blah blah blah. Can you speak to that a little bit? And, you know,
well, there's two types of not? I don't know what other people on the radio are doing, but there's two types of people that say that kind of stuff. There's the annuity salespeople. Okay, like Martha was talking about earlier, and these annuities have what they call indexed annuities, okay? And when the market goes up, you'll make some rate of return. When the market goes down, you might make zero rate of return, but you won't go into negative territory. And that's what they're talking about. Now, the key to the situation, though, that you have to think about is, well, if you take away the volatility on the downside, there has to be an elimination of the upside also. That is the way that markets work. And anybody who tells you otherwise is lying to you. That's just a fact of life. You cannot get a 20% rate of return on the upside and then expect when the market goes down 22%, like last year, to get a zero rate of return. It's just impossible. Nobody can do that. And so what a lot of these index annuities do is they might give you 6% when the market goes up 15, and they might give you a 0% rate of return when the market goes down. And in average, you're making 3 or 4%, which is what you would have probably made if you just went into fixed investments anyway. Here's another key thing to the indexes, okay? These people who say up and down, no loss, okay? Is they're dealing with the price movement of the S&P 500 or some index, okay? So if the S&P 500 index goes from 2,000 to 2,200, that's a 10% move, right? Okay?
Right.
Now, over the history of the stock market, the total rate of return of the S&P 500 was 2/3 price movement, 1/3 dividends, okay? These index annuities and all these index products that they're taunting and saying, you know, they're using that greed and fear to try to lure you into something that may not be as great as they make it out to be. Because they always strip the dividends out. When you strip those dividends out, that's 1/3 of the historical rate of return of the stock market. And just think about that. So if a brokerage firm buys the index, the actual index, and gets the dividends, and they give you just the net movement of the market, okay, the asset price movement, they're going to make a fairly significant rate of return just on the dividends, you know, and so forth. So anyway, you got to, you have any other, the other way that they do that is what's called structured notes, which is like CDs and so forth that give you a rate of return based on what the market indexes do. Those are very similar, do the same thing, and very manipulative as to what you're really getting. And that's why they do these commercials, to lure people in to get something that they don't really understand. But you're going to have to hold with me. You want to hold? We could talk more about that because that's a great topic. But right now, I've got to take a hard break. You got to hold on. I got to take a hard break right now. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. Let's see. Was it Sam, right?
Yep.
Wasn't that who it was? Let's see if he still had a question there. Sam, sorry to cut you off there. Are you there?
No. Yes, I am. That's okay. I didn't really have anything more specific. I mean, I was just like, you hear these people, and they don't even go into all that much detail. They often list some names of experts and even have seminars and so forth.
We have studied structured notes and index annuities upside down, over and around. And every time we do, we realize that the people who put those products together are making far more money than the clients are ever going to make on those. And the commissions are quite healthy also. So you have to be very careful about that. And, you know what I mean? But if you don't like the movement of the market and you want to try to get a little more rate of return than a fixed investment, you know, it can't hurt you, possibly.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for the call.
No problem. Good call. So, anyway, anybody else online, Mike?
Yeah, the person listening that's thinking about their question and whether or not to call, they are the next caller, and we're just waiting for you.
Well, we'll give them the number so they know which way to go.
410-922-6680. That's 410-922-6680. All lines are open. We're waiting for you to call. So just go ahead and do that for us as soon as possible. Drew, when we were offline while we take our mandatory traffic breaks, you and I were talking about the fact that there's a lot of other types of schemes, I'll call it, like schemes. That. And one of the big ones is where they say your payment will never go down. They say, oh, you know, you have a guaranteed withdrawal rate.
Yeah, right. 6%, 8% I've heard, you know. Or they say, and your accumulation rate will never go below 7% or something like that. And especially sounded attractive, Mike, when interest rates a year or two ago were down in the 1% and 2% range. You know, it sounded really fantastic, but it wasn't an internal rate of return they were talking about. It was strictly a withdrawal rate or a phony, an account that was called an accumulation account, which they even disclaim and says, this is not your money. So there's always a disclaimer under it says, this is not money that you can take. It's a number that was being accumulated so that when you do trigger your monthly withdrawal, boom, they will take it out. They will base it based on what this number is. So if they say 5% is your guaranteed withdrawal and your accumulation account went up to $102,000, even though your real money is only $95,000, they'll give you 5% on 102. And you think, wow, this is really great. You know, my account's all the way up to 102. It's not your money. It's a phony baloney account.
Right, because when you die, or if you were to try to cash out, but let's go with when you die, all of a sudden your kids, you're thinking, oh, well, they're going to get that $102,000. Nope.
No, see, here, let me give you an illustration of how this works, Mike, okay? So you put $100,000 into this, and they say, we're going to give you a guaranteed withdrawal rate of 5%, okay? So you're going to get $5,000 a year, and what they're going to do is they're going to withdraw that $5,000 a year off of your $100,000, okay? And so if the $100,000 only goes up 2% a year, 3% of it is coming out of your principal. And they just keep doing that. They don't care if you live to be 100 or if you live to be 70. It's totally irrelevant to them because they're basically just giving you your own money back. Even if the account just doesn't keep going higher, the insurance company has it figured out that they can't lose.
Yep.
You know,
well,
I've done these numbers over and over many times. And as long as you... And no matter how long you live, you lose, ultimately.
All right. Well, open show. Plenty of lines open, 410-922-6680. But with that, let's go to John in Church Hill.
Church Hill.
Hello?
Hey,
over
John.
In England?
Church Hill or Churchville?
Church Hill.
Church Hill.
Eastern Shore.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What's up there, John?
Well, what I got is I'm 60 now.
Okay.
I have a fairly good amount of money in my 401k. So... I don't know what is. I'm not a money guy, so I guess what I'm saying is I was told that I could draw the money out and put it into another account, but am I going to pay taxes on that when I do that?
No. You can. Anybody who retires, or you know, even if you're still working and they allow you and you leave that company, you can always do what's called a direct rollover. That's where you take your 401k and move it into an IRA or into a Roth IRA. And you're always able...
What about if I'm still working?
What's that?
What about if I'm still working?
Okay, I mean, so a lot of companies will allow you to do what's called an in-service withdrawal when you hit 59 and a half years of age. So you said you were 60, so you're over 59 and a half. If your company allows you to do it, you can do what's called an in-service IRA rollover, direct rollover. You go right from your 401k to your IRA if you want to. And you don't have to stay in the 401k. But let me warn you, do not leave that 401k until you have a thorough tax analysis of it to make sure that you are not missing some of the opportunities. Because remember this, I always talk about economic bias. If you go to a financial advisor who all they're interested in is you know, I need more money to invest. And you say, I'd like to do a direct rollover of my account. They may say to you, hey, you know, here we go. Here's an IRA for you to roll over to. If you miss some great opportunities because nobody told you about them, that's not their fault. That's your fault. And so make sure you have competent advice on that.
John, are you still working for the same? Are you still working for the same company?
I am. I've been there for 27 years, and I also have a pension plan, which there's three ways we could take the money. And one was you could take like a pay period of like 10 years, or you could take a lower amount, or you could take a lump sum. You take it all.
Right. And that's another one that the economic bias of financial advisors to immediately say lump sum. But you need to make sure.
that's why I'm calling, because, you know, I'm just a truck driver. Well, I got all this money in my 401k, and I don't know what to do with it.
Well, John, let me ask you another question about one of the opportunities Drew's saying that he doesn't want you to miss. After you do what other savings you're doing, do you have any extra savings each year or each month?
I have about $50,000 in cash in the bank, just sitting at a savings account.
So here's the thing. Here's the opportunity you're missing, is that while you're working and while all your money is in that 401k and you don't have any money in an IRA, you could set up an IRA and you could set up a Roth IRA. And you could take some of that 50 each year and you could move it from your savings account to your regular IRA to the Roth IRA.
Well, you might not even need to do that, Mike, if his income is low.
Well, depending on what your income is. If your income is low enough, you can go right to the Roth IRA. But there's really no good reason for you not to keep some of that money in the Roth IRA.
Yeah. You should be doing that. You should also be considering, what company do you work for? Which, is it a big trucking company?
It's not UPS. It's the other one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now there you go. FedEx has what's called net unrealized depreciation. If you own stock in your 401k plan, there is a really cool tax advantage you can do with that plan. And you do not want to miss it. And you better make sure you have competent tax advice before you leave that FedEx plan.
I'm going to have to set something up with you guys, because I don't know nothing.
You should, because, you know, we're fiduciaries. We have to give you, you know, a full analysis and tell you everything about it. And the financial physical will help you do all that, my friend. So we'd love to talk to you. Just call our office, 410-823-SAVE. That's an easy way to remember. 410-823-SAVE. All right?
Great. Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for the call.
All right, Mikey. Open lines, 410-922-6680.
This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Heck, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show, and I think Mikey's trying to tell me no callers.
No callers.
So we've got 10 minutes left. We could probably take 3 or 4 calls at the most between now and the end of the show. If you want to call in and ask a question, direct the conversation, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And You know, Mike, let's kind of explain a little bit about that, you know, waiting for callers to call in and tell us that they want to go a different direction. But for right now, if they don't call in, 410-922-6680, we'll go this direction. So John calls in. He says he worked for FedEx, okay? So FedEx has a 401k plan. If he owns stock in the 401k plan, if he owns FedEx stock in the 401k plan, that falls under a category of what's called net unrealized appreciation. It's a slightly complex area of the tax code where I can take the stock that he bought, and let's say he paid $100,000 for the FedEx stock over 27 years. He said he worked there 27 years. So let's say he bought a FedEx stock every year for 27 years, and he put $100,000 into it. Now that FedEx stock is worth, let's say, $850,000. Let's just use that. So with net unrealized appreciation, what he can do is he can take that $850,000 out and not deposit it into a regular brokerage account, but deposit it into, not into an IRA account, but deposit it into just a regular brokerage account. He would pay taxes on the $100,000 that he paid for that stock, but the remaining $750,000 of stock would be long-term capital gain if he ever sells it.
Right.
Now think about that. If you know the tax law, inside an IRA, when it comes out, it's going to be taxed at ordinary income rates, okay? Ordinary income rates are always 5 to 12% higher than capital gains rates. Matter of fact, some capital gains, if you do it right, could be zero when money coming out of an IRA is going to be taxed at 12%. I mean, there's a dramatic difference. This net unrealized appreciation is something that you really want to understand if you have the opportunity to do it.
And for the folks up here, we've got a number of companies we see this all the time. Becton Dickinson, McCormick.
Becton Dickinson. McCormick's a big one we do it
with. By the way, McCormick, whatever you were making today, whew, man, that stunk.
Really?
Oh, it's bad today.
We're right across the street from one of their plants. We're on McCormick Road, so yep. I guess it would only be logical. But McCormick is a big one, you know, FedEx, UPS is a big one too. We do that. There's a lot of UPS people here in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've got an open show. You have anybody online yet?
I don't have any callers. So if you're listening and you get in here quickly, you call right away. We might be able to answer your question. But I did want to tee you up another topic that I think you'll love. Drew, how much do you like Roth IRAs and money into Roth IRAs?
I'm moving all my money into Roth IRAs. You know that.
And you know that they just gave you a new way, or not you, maybe you, they gave us a new way to move money into Roth IRAs starting in 2024.
You're talking about the 529 plan?
I'm talking about the 529 plan.
Yeah, so, you know, you start putting money away for your kid, let's say back in 2005, and now they're ready to go to college, and you have more than enough money accumulated, and they graduate college, you still have plenty of money in there. You can now move up to the maximum
$35,000.
Yep, $35,000, but you can only do it at the yearly limit per year for each of your child, as long as they have earned income. So if your child graduates and you still have $30,000 left in your 529 plan, instead of it being stuck in the 529 plan like it would have been under the old rules, now you could take the money for little Joni. She gets a job and she makes $50,000 the first year. Boom, $6,500 goes into a Roth IRA from the 529. And you keep doing that for 5 years. At the end of 5 years, all the 529s now moved into Joni's Roth IRA. It can't get better than that, Mike.
You know, when Kerrigan and Devin, once they get to that college age, I'm going to let them know how much they could get into a Roth IRA if they just stay in state, live at home with mom and dad.
There you go.
Take all that extra and have a nice little nest egg.
Yeah, well, you know, there are some complicated portions to that law. The account has to be set up 15 years. And it can't be any new money going into the account in the last 5 years, I think it was.
Yep.
So there's a couple of strange little complications.
You can change the beneficiary, but you can't make it yourself.
You could. Is that really? Did they just come out with that?
No, maybe I could have that wrong. If you didn't know that,
Well, they haven't clarified.
This is pretty new.
They haven't clarified some of the nuances of that law. And, you know, I tell you, this last tax law that was passed last year, there were so many mistakes in there that they did. You know, like, for example, next year, Mike, you will not be able to do a catch-up contribution next year unless it goes to a Roth IRA. Now, they wrote that law so poorly that according to a lot of the experts, nobody next year will be able to do a catch-up contribution because of the way that law is written.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable how, you know, and they wrote this 529 plan law, but they left a lot of details out of, well, what about this? What happens if this happens? What happens if this? Et cetera. You got a caller?
We got a caller. Let's try to squeeze it in. Lee in Towson, how can we help? We only got a couple minutes left.
Yeah, I have a friend who's on Social Security. I think he's around 63. He doesn't pay any taxes because his income isn't that high. But he has a regular IRA. If he took money out, and because of the standing deduction, could he take out some money that wouldn't be taxable?
Well, you know, yeah, that the answer is yes, but you have to do a very thorough tax analysis. We do this all the time. So a client, let's say, has $30,000 of Social Security income, and that's the only income they have is $30,000, okay? The way the law works, Lee, is this. You take 50% of the $30,000, that's $15,000. To that, you add any additional income that you have, okay? So if I take $15,000 out of an IRA, then I have 15 and 15, that's 30,000. Now, this number that I'm calculating is to determine if any of my Social Security is going to start becoming taxable, right? Because if you don't think about this and you make the error to say, well, the standard deduction is 27,000 for somebody his age and he's married, let's say. Is he married or single?
He's single.
Okay, so let's call it 14,000, okay? And he says, well, I can just take out 14,000 from my IRA because, you know, the standard deduction is 14,000. He might be making a serious mistake because part of his Social Security might start becoming taxable, and all of a sudden he wakes up and finds that he owes taxes on $8,000, you know? And he totally unexpected to him.
The other thing you got to be careful when you're dealing with people that have incomes that are that low is, what if they are also receiving any kind of supplemental, you know, support, you know,
right.
That things
could
of
be
that
true.
Nature. You got to be careful you don't bump somebody out of a benefit.
State benefits are derived on income, so you got to be careful of that. There's all kinds of quirky little things in the tax law, but you're absolutely right, and it is absolutely a key strategy that should be implemented every year by somebody in that situation is moving, even if it's just $5,000 a year, 100% tax-free to the Roth. They're missing an incredible opportunity to do that. You're absolutely right, Lee. That's a strategy we've used for 30 years now since Roth IRAs first came in line.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
Matter of fact, Mike, you and I were just talking about this morning with a client, right?
Yep.
Because she had, you know, virtually just Social Security and a couple other little pensions, and we take a little couple $1,000s a year, move it into the Roth IRA, and over the period of time, she's accumulated a nice little nest egg of tax-free money.
Yep, absolutely.
So it's a strategy that everyone in that low bracket that has traditional IRA should be thinking about. Anyway, Mike, we're running out of time now. Huh? Where does the time go?
It flies by. Like you just
said,
such
a good time.
15 years.
15 years. That's right. Mike's been with me over 15 years now. He came to us as an intern in 2008.
And I thought I was going to have to become a survivalist.
Yeah, you thought so. And and Lord, you know, lo and behold, 12 years later, you became the CEO of a company. You're a pretty fast rising star there, my friend.
Oh,
so
doing my best.
That's one of the most talented young men you'll ever meet, Michael P. McCarthy.
This
always
is exactly
a pleasure
how I
doing
thought
the
we
show
should,
with you.
That's exactly how I thought we should end the show today, too.
That's talking about how wonderful you are, right? Your family sure thinks you're the most wonderful. Yeah. Your daughters do. I know that
we
much.
We got a
know?
Lot of great people on our team, which is why we always encourage people to reach out to us.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Always good to be with
always
you.
Always great to be with you.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.